she says, "Scott, I scare her to death these days over what I might say." But I'll tell you the good part, I'm too old to worry about it. Hallelujah. They're talking about getting old. I said, "Don't feel sorry for me. The good part about it, you ain't got no peer pressure." Hallelujah. I'm about afraid to get around Ken. I tell you, I was with him in March. Pretty day down Morganton. Got in there with him that night and come out, and 6 inches of snow fell on him. They call that Mountain View. Mountain View nothing. It's right on top of a mountain. Praise the Lord. Good to see some folks here. Hadn't seen for a while. There's some folks here with me in Avery County a couple of weeks ago even. And down this way with us. Amen. And good Monday night crowd. Amen. Preachers. Some people still like to go to church. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. A fella asked me one time, said, "What's your hobby?" I said, "I go to church." he said, "You know what I mean. What do you do for fun?" I really had him then, man. I go to church. I'll pay for your gasoline. You come tell me about anything you'd have more fun at than going to the house of God. What a blessing it is. Just you got your Bible tonight. Turn, if you will, please, to the Old Testament book of Joshua. Thank God for the Word of God. Stan Reverence, the one wrote the book. 22nd chapter, the book of Joshua. Thank God for this blessed old book. I'm glad I don't have to stand and draw out of my well. This well's deep. Ain't that what it says? Never got to the bottom of it yet. Amen. You remember when those two mothers come running to King Solomon, had one baby, and the other one evidently got on her baby. The Bible says while she slept, killed it. And I said, "Hey, some mamas today better wake up or they're going to lose theirs." Yeah. As certain as the world. And so here they are, one baby, and both of them are claiming it. And Solomon says, "Bring me a sword." Boy, that real mama went screaming. No, no, no. He knew what he's going to do with that sword. Give half to each mother. And let her have it. I want to ask you something. When was it the truth came out? When they brought the sword. It still will. Bring the sword, the truth will come out, won't it? Hallelujah. You don't like what I preach, take it up with the one who wrote the book. Amen. I'm interested in verse 34 tonight. 22nd chapter, book of Joshua. The Bible said, "And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad call the altar," what? Now, you'll have to admit that's a little bit unusual, Scott. "For it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God." Father, I thank you for your word this time together in the tabernacle tonight. Lord, you look out of heaven's glory and you see beyond our faces. You see our hearts. And I pray for that in here tonight, lost and undone, hell-bound. Dear God, this will be the night they come, get around this old altar, and invite Jesus into their heart, make a reservation for glory now in Him. Somebody with another need, I trust, dear God, they bring it to you and find help at thy hand. God, I can't, but you can. I come to allow you and somewhere down the road I'll bow down and praise you and glorify you and tell everybody you did it all. For it's in Jesus' name I do humbly pray. Amen. And you can be seated. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad call the altar Ed. There shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. About three things I'm looking at in this scripture, and I'll be done. We'll go home. I'll get you out before Walmart closes, all right? Tonight. I used to say Waffle House, but I've been some places in North Carolina, they closed up about 10 o'clock. Well, I asked them one time, I said, what in the world? The only Waffle House I've been in lately closed 10 o'clock. I said, man, you can't believe how few cars on that road after 10 o'clock out here. Not worthwhile to stay open, you know. But I tell you what, you know what I found out? Sometimes, preacher, the further up the hotter you get, the better the meeting.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Yeah, amen. I tell you, and I tell you, it's good to be back in North Carolina. I've been down to Tennessee for a couple of weeks, and between Knoxville and Chattanooga, Sweetwater, Tennessee. Before that, down to South Carolina, so it's good to be back home, folks, tonight. Amen. Tar Heels. And a fella told me, now if he didn't tell me the truth, it's him God for it. But he said he fell asleep and dreamed that he went to heaven. And he said they took him into one of the biggest rooms Scott had ever seen in his life. And he said everybody in that room was chained, bound. And he said he couldn't understand that. And he said, what's going on? All these people wearing chains. No, he said, all these folks from North Carolina, if we didn't chain them down, they'd go home every weekend. And I'm about halfway understanding that, ain't you? Yes, sir. But I'm a-looking tonight, first of all, at an unusual, a proper name. Children of Reuben, the children of Gad, call the altar Ed. Now, nothing wrong with that name Ed. I've got a brother-in-law named Ed, a God-fearing man. But it is unusual that these Hebrews would call anything Ed. I mean, they call people Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Daniel, but not Ed. That's sort of unusual, you'll have to admit. I mean, most of the names of the altars in the Old Testament, big old double-jointed words, that I have to pronounce one syllable at a time. Come along here and find one named Ed, and God had my attention, to say the least. And so this is a very unusual proper name for those Hebrews. They just didn't name each other or anything Ed. Not only that, I'm looking at an unusual partnership. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad. Those two boys had so little in common to begin with. Different. Remember, old Jacob's calling them boys in to pronounce a blessing before he died on them. And Reuben thinks he's got it made. I mean, he's firstborn king. They get a double portion. And he just feels like, you know, he's got it made, buddy. But is he ever in for a surprise? Now, don't forget, it ain't like he's in there and his daddy talking to just him. All them other boys are listening. They're standing around, tuned in. And I can hear old Jacob say, son, you've been a disappointment to me. You're as unstable as water. Now, we all know that water takes the path of least resistance. And so Reuben's weak. And I mean, his daddy lets him know that in his last few minutes on earth. And then here's Gad, just the opposite. He's very strong. A troop shall overcome thee, but you'll overcome at the last. That's what he told Gad. I mean, if you got a Gad out down, you better kill him. He's got your number. He'll be coming after you. And so they're so different. And I got to wondering, how on earth did these two fellas get together on anything? And their people, the Reubenites and the Gadites, being so far flung from each other. And then something dawned on me. Back in the book of Genesis, 29th chapter, verse number 31, the Bible said that when God saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. And I remember back when I was on the mountain with you, back in March, Ken, getting into this just a little bit. And you know the story of Jacob and how that he worked 7 years for Rachel and then old Laban gave him Leah. He said, I can't go around Leah. She's the firstborn.
Amen.
Can't run around her. And so he gave him Leah. Now, the Bible said that Leah was tender-eyed. Somebody asked me one day, said, what in the world does that mean, preacher, tender-eyed? I think that's Hebrew for ugly. He didn't care a thing on earth about Leah. He despised her. She's pushed off on him. He loved Rachel, and Rachel loved him.
Amen.
Now here the Bible has said that God saw that Leah was hated. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren.
Yeah.
And boy, I begin to think about something right here. I've been trained to believe all of my life. And buddy, I've been taken to church, I mean 9 months before I discovered America. I've been church.
Amen.
And I've been led to believe by Sunday school lessons, Scott, and preachers, that old Jacob worked 7 years and Laban gave him Leah.
Yeah.
And then he worked 7 more years and he gave him Rachel.
Amen.
That ain't how it happened. He worked 7 years and Laban gave him Leah and Rachel. And then he had to work 7 more years for Rachel. He got her on credit. He got to work 7 more years, pay her off, preacher. About time you think you got a handle on some station, you got to come along and show you didn't know beans about it.
Come
on. Here just a few days ago, thinking about old Jacob yonder at Peniel. He wrestled there. The Bible said, a man until the day dawn. Of course, we know that's God. He said, I saw God face to face and I'm still breathing.
Yeah, amen.
And that's a theophany, you know, an appearance of God in a body before Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And he wrestled with him.
Yeah.
And that word wrestle jumped out at me, Ken. I said, Lord, it don't say fought a man. It says wrestled.
Amen.
And boy, I was going to have to go to the pulpit with this, you know. I said, hey, I got to know what I'm talking about, Lord. I got to stand before you people. See, God showed me a long time ago, I didn't come out of a preacher's family. God called me out of a backslidden state right into the pulpit. And I didn't know. something come up, you know, and I began to think of what old preacher man can I call? And boy, I was a thinking along that line one evening, and God said, why call anybody when you can talk to the one who wrote the book? So I got talking to one who wrote the book. And the Bible said he wrestled there a man until the day dawn. Till the breaking of the day.
Amen.
Now, if he'd have said fault, when you fight somebody, you're trying to hurt them.
Amen.
And God ain't out to hurt Jacob.
Amen.
The Bible said he wrestled there a man until the breaking of the day.
Amen.
When you wrestle somebody, you're trying to gain control of them.
Amen.
And that's what God's wanting. He's wanting control of old Jacob.
Amen.
He ain't had control of him up until now.
Amen.
But boy, after a while, I mean, listen, God saw he wasn't going to let him go, and he crippled him.
Amen.
That fouled him up proper, didn't it? I mean, he's been a runner.
Yeah.
He's running from Esau. He's running from Laban. He's running from everybody and everything. But God fixed him up. He can't run no more. He's going to have to face his problems now, ain't he? And so he wrestled her. And, all right, God, I can't wrestle you no more, but I ain't going to let you go till you bless me. I feel like sometimes we let go too easy. We need to get around the old altar and hang on. God, I ain't no match for you. I can't out-wrestle you. But God, I'll tell you right now, I ain't letting go. I'm going to hang on to you, bless me. I'm going to hang on to you, convict my boy. I'm going to hang on to you, bring conviction on that girl. And they get saved, God. Hang on to God, hallelujah. All right, big boy, you want me to bless you? What's your name?
Amen.
Now, don't you know God knew Jacob's name?
Amen.
Strange thing, his earthly father 20 years earlier had asked him the same question.
Amen.
What's your name? His daddy's blind. He's about to steal old Esau's birthright, and he goes in, what's your name? My name is Esau. God's bringing up something, ain't he?
Amen.
You want me to bless you? What's your name?
Amen. That's right.
He didn't say, my name's Esau this time.
Amen.
My name's Jacob.
Amen.
That means conniver, cheat, worm, scoundrel. He's admitting what he is to God. You ain't going to strut in the presence with God acting like something you ain't and get any kind of a blessing. Buddy, you're going to have to come clean with God and tell him how sorry, rotten, low down, stinking you are, and God will bless you, buddy. My name's Jacob. I ain't letting you go till you bless me. Boy, he got blessed, didn't he? Thank God. And so, boy, I begin to see something here in Genesis 29, verse 31. God blessed Leah, opened her womb. But Rachel, see, he had two wives here. He gave him both of them. He had to pay for Rachel on credit. But you know the story? I mean, they despised Leah, Rachel, and Jacob despised her. Everybody hated her. God saw what was going on, and the Bible said he blessed her. I wish somebody showed me this 40 years ago. God blessed her with four boys. Firstborn, old Reuben. You know what Reuben means? God sees. Jacob despises me. Rachel don't like me, but God sees me. And she named him Reuben.
Amen.
And boy, here she is, that little baby boy. She thought, now this is going to make a difference down at our house, how old Jacob feels about me.
Amen.
But it didn't make a piece of difference.
Amen.
He's as mean to her as ever.
Amen.
God blessed her with a second son. She named him Simeon. You know what Simeon means? God hears. Huh?
Amen.
I don't care how Jacob feels about me. God's heard me.
Amen.
And she named that little old boy, preacher, God hears. Boy, ain't you glad you got a hearing God tonight? Yes, sir. I'm glad I can get around that altar, preachers, and talk to God that's a listening. God hears me, thank God. One of these fellas from a false religion here a while back told me, said, I feel sorry for you Christians. I said, why? He said, we go down to Mecca and we know where our leader's at. He's right in there. Said, all you've got's a hole in the ground outside Jerusalem. I said, would you pardon me about a half hour while I shout over a hole in the ground? Hallelujah, he's alive. Amen, listen. And he hears me, thank God, when I pray. Glory to God, a hearing God. Simeon. But it didn't make a piece of difference. She's still despised by Rachel and Jacob, whole family and all of them. And God blessed her again. Something happened between Simeon and Levi. She left God out when she's naming Levi. Levi means together or joined. All she's got in her mind right now is to be joined with Jacob in the kind of relationship husband and wife ought to have. That's all in her mind. She left God out of the picture, named him Levi. But that third son didn't make a piece of difference. He's as mean to her as ever. Rachel despises her just as much as ever.
Amen.
God blessed her with a fourth boy. She named him Judah.
Amen.
Judah means praise.
Amen.
Now something happened after Levi to Leah.
Yeah.
She called him praise. You know what she's saying? I don't care how Jacob feels about me, I'm going to praise God anyhow. I don't care how Rachel may treat me, I'm going to praise God. Woo, hallelujah. I don't care how the whole family feels toward me, I'm going to praise God anyhow. Woo, boy, I tell you, it'd do us good to assume that kind of thinking, wouldn't it? I don't care what the doctor says, I'm going to praise God anyhow. I don't care, listen, if you think this message ain't worth a flip, I'm going to praise God anyhow. Woo, boy, God's been too good to me, mister. Amen. Listen, from December 2011 till July 2012, I couldn't have got up from where Scott's seated here. It'd take two or three people to pull me up and get me up. Rheumatoid arthritis in my body. Couldn't sleep at night. Lived with that pain for 7 months, Ken. Nobody had to pull me up tonight.
Amen.
All about you on the main road giving three hoops for Jesus. I'm going to praise God, buddy. God's been too good to me. Listen, she said, I don't care how they feel about me. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to glorify God. Now, let me ask you something. Out of the 12 tribes, which one's the biggest? Judah. Oh, praise. Then pray tell me why praise takes such a little part of our worship services. Praise ought to be bigger than the preaching. Praise ought to be bigger than the singing. Praise ought to be bigger than anything, bless God. I mean, listen, we just gather out on Sunday morning and praise God and glorify God. And buddy, I tell you, somebody will get to know the Lord. When they camped around that old tabernacle, you know where Judah camped? Right in front of the door. The other 11 was camped around the walls. Now, if you could find praise you can find the door.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
Still can.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. They gather out on Sunday morning, boy, and find praise. They'd be somebody find the door.
Amen.
Huh? Yes, sir. And buddy, you locate old praise and you done found the door. And these other 11, they just looking at the wall.
Amen. Right.
Praise looking at the door.
Amen.
A woman asked her husband after church one Sunday morning, said, "Did you see Ms. Jones' new shoes today?" "No, honey, I didn't." "Well, did you see Ms. Brown's new outfit?" "No, honey, I sure didn't." "Well, did you see the bishop's new automobile?" "I'm sorry, honey, I didn't." She said, "Why do you go to church anyhow?" I'll tell you why I go. I go see the door. And but if I can get a glimpse of the door, I'm good for another mile for God. Huh? Yes, sir. And here he is. I mean, right in front of that. Now, I know the tabernacle, Ken. I mean, I've done my homework. I come to North Carolina 40 years ago, and there's an old preacher in Mitchell County that taught the tabernacle. He had a scale model. And he'd tote that thing around, you know, preach on the tabernacle for a revival. I called old brother Frank Ellis, and I said, "Frank, I'd need you up here in Spring Creek. Teach that tabernacle." He said, "I'm sorry, Brother Bob." He said, I'm so took up with it. He said, "I don't have any time to come." And he said, I couldn't get two, three, 4 years. Everybody wanting me to come teach tabernacle. I thought, bless God, I'll build me one.
Yeah.
And I built my own tabernacle. Had a time, that thing, Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, 12 Sunday nights, I preached Stacy on the tabernacle.
Yeah.
Had a time. I know that thing inside and out. All the colors and the metals. And all it all speaks of Jesus, you know. Points at Jesus. And then you can run back through it again and use salvation instead of Jesus. Speaks salvation. And I know that tabernacle. Now, my Bible school's coming up. I have my Bible school boys, you know. I gave them some plans and they built my tabernacle. And that was before Walmart. Been able to go down and buy glue and craft and art and stuff, you know, like today. And so they stuck it together with flour and water, mixed it up, made glue, you know. Anybody here old as I am remembering they did that? Amen. Some of you's honest anyhow. Hey, you get up in these hills and hollers in North Carolina and you can find some of these old houses still got wallpaper on the wall stuck on there, flour and water.
Amen.
And so I had a time with it, boy. A little later on, somebody wanted me to come to their church teach tabernacle. And I went to get my tabernacle out, you know. Now, remember, made out of flour and water, and the rats had eat it. But I had a time with it while it lasted, mister. Yes, sir. And so here old praise right up front.
Amen.
Outer court, brazen altar. Step inside the inner court, and there's that altar of incense you're facing. Over on the right, table of showbread, 7-pronged golden candlestick on the left. Huh? Beyond that, beyond the veil, Holy of Holies.
Amen.
And it wasn't like something in there representing God. God himself was behind that veil.
Amen.
The glory.
Amen.
Now remember where praise is at, right in front of the door.
Amen.
Are you listening? You couldn't get to the glory without coming through praise.
Amen.
You still can't.
Amen.
That's why some churches ain't never going to see no glory.
Amen.
That's why some individuals never going to see no glory. They ain't willing to praise God. But boy, you get to praising God. Woo! Hallelujah! The glory will fall, mister. I'll guarantee you. What a God's blessing, buddy. Now here's old praise. Right in front of the door. And I'm back where I started. Over here on one side, two of those tribes camped side by side, Reuben and Gad. They rub shoulders every day, Ken.
Yeah. Amen.
And here's the thing about it. The strength of Gad didn't rub off on Reuben.
Right.
Reuben's weakness rubbed off on Gad. That'll happen every time. I've told some young ladies, get away from that boy. Don't you think about marrying him. He wasn't brought up in church. He's got nothing for the word of God, nothing for the man of God, nothing for the house of God. Drop him like a hot potato and get away from him. No, preacher, you don't understand. Me and my mama's going to win him to the Lord, and we're going to get him in church. That don't happen. He drags her out of church. Every time I've seen that happen. The weakness will rub off on the strength. And here they are both in that shape. Weaklings. And so God explained to me here how these unusual partnership came into being here. That they got together on building an altar, a great altar, the Bible said, and calling it Ed. Now remember when they're headed for the promised land, hadn't got to the Jordan River yet. Reuben and Gad and half tribe of Manasseh went to Moses. Look at all this good grazing, Moses. We've got all these cattle. If it's all right with you, we'll let like settle over here, this side of Jordan, Gilead, if you permit that. You know what they're asking? They're asking to settle short of what God had intended for them. Wonder how many times you have. Scares me. Think how many times maybe I settled short. I stopped short of what God intended for me. I've been in a few revivals that because I was supposed to be somewhere the next week, we shut it down. Didn't have near the revival it came out of.
Amen.
You know. Boy, I wish I could go back in time.
Amen.
I'd tell the fellow, you can just bring your people over here and join us.
Amen.
I was at Red Hill Baptist Church 21 nights some years ago. Old Brother Frank Parson, old man of God, didn't sit down for 21 nights. He walked the aisle hollering, what a Jesus. What a Jesus. Full time high priest. Come down, kiss my shoes sometime and say, beautiful are the feet that carries the gospel. He didn't sit down.
Amen.
And boy, I saw people laying in the aisle, her face buried in her Bible, and you couldn't get them up. They're down there, boy, listen, getting a hold of God.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, Sunday rolled around, and I'd go down to Red Hill and preach at 10 o'clock, and then go back to Spring Creek and preach at 11. 21 nights. And I schedule on the calendar to go to Tocane Baptist Church for Jack Callahan. We shut it down. Sunday night, 21 nights. Boy, it's as good that last night as it was the first one, Ken. I wish I could go back in time.
Yeah.
Jack's people would come up where we was at.
Yeah.
I'd kept going.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And I've made some mistakes. Along the way, I've heard people say, boy, I wouldn't do a thing different if I could live my... I sure would. Man, I'd sure make some changes. I wonder how many times I've settled short of what God intended for me. That's scary, ain't it? Yes, sir. So that's what they're asking. All right, that's what you want. Just one thing. You just got to cross that Jordan. Go over and fight the enemy. And when the last victory's been won, then you can come back over here in Gilead and settle down for the duration.
Amen.
And they agreed on that, and they did. They crossed that Jordan and went and fought alongside those other tribes till the enemy was defeated. And then they came back to Jordan, go back to Gilead for the duration, or the grass for their cattle. Now stay with me. They got back up to the Jordan, and they was thinking, Right here's an unusual line of thought. They're thinking, we know who those people are. And they know who we are. We fought together. And we travel through the wilderness, and we know who each other are. But what about our grandchildren? One of these days, their grandchildren is going to come up here and cross Jordan and say, who are you? And we better make some arrangements for that. And so the Bible said they made a great altar. Yes, sir, they built there a great altar. And those come out of the south, they say, who are you? Well, we're the servants of the Most High God. Well, how come we've not seen you in our meetings down south? How come you've never been down there to worship with us? How come you've not been down there and sacrificing anything on our altar? Isn't it amazing? I've been Spring Creek soon be 40 years. And every once in a while, a name will appear in an obituary saying they're a member of Spring Creek. I've been there 40 years and I never laid eyes on them. That happened to anybody else in here, preachers? Yes, sir. Now, if they don't know any better than to do that, if they give me a part in that funeral, I'll tell on them, Ken. Yes, sir. Friend of mine, he'd been there 20 years, and he's got a lady that records their Sunday visitors, writes them all in a book. And so there's a family there one Sunday, and the preacher said, don't forget that family. Oh, preacher, I'm not writing their name down as visitors. Said, they're very adamant about this thing. They say they're members here. He said, honey, I've been here 20 years. Have I ever seen them? No. Like I said, write them down, visitors. Yes, sir. I'd be ashamed, Scott, to do that.
Amen.
Been there all them years, never laid eyes on them.
Amen.
Hear no obituary. And we feel bad not to pay $50 for some flyers, for them. Those are members, they say. My God. Yes, sir. My wife tells you, you don't not talk about stuff like you do. And I say, if you ever preach one, you can leave it out. Yes, sir. But how come we've not seen you down south,
amen,
one of our services?
Amen.
Down there offering anything on the altar. Well, look at this altar out here. We built a great altar. We're servants of the Most High God. Well, word got back down south, and they misunderstood. They said them Reubenites and Gadites has built a big old altar up there, some kind of false god. And we better do something about it. Judgment of God's going to fall on us. See, they still remember Ai. Get up, Joshua, sin in the camp. Just one tribe do wrong. All 12 suffered. They said, we better do something about that old altar, that false god up north. Judgment of God's going to fall on us. And so they sent a delegation to the north. What do you people mean? We got to get this altar down, this false god. Hey, this ain't no altar to a false god. What? Verse 10, Joshua 22, I saw it. Be worth marking in your Bible. 10th verse. Joshua 22. Drop down to the last three words in verse 10. And forget about that last two. And what do you got to see? They said, this ain't no altar to false god. They ain't never been a fire on this altar. They ain't never been a sacrifice offered on this altar. This altar's just to look at. This altar's just to see. They named him Ed. Let me ask you something. What good's an altar just to look at? Huh? Boy, I'm glad, thank God, this altar right here ain't named Ed. This altar's to use. Boy, I'm glad I couldn't get up. That's somebody tugging at me. Mister, there's some folks had an altar, wasn't named Ed. They got a hold of God, buddy. God took that problem off of me. Listen, how many times through life God's helped me with something because some child of God, buddy, got around an old altar that wasn't just something to look at, but something to use, thank God, and got a hold of heaven and got me some help, mister.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Boy, ain't you glad tonight you can get around this altar and call that boy's name's going to wind up in hell if he don't get saved?
Amen.
Huh? Ain't you glad you can get around this altar tonight and talk to the God of it?
Amen.
Boy, and get some stuff settled with heaven and leave here persuading your soul that something's going to take place.
Amen.
You've got a hold of God. Huh? Now, I'll tell you what. It's up to you. You can sit there and look at it tonight and get up and go home. Or you can get around it and talk to the God of it about some faces that God's holding before you right now. Or maybe even a personal need and see something happen. Hallelujah. God bless you, buddy. God bless you.
Amen.
Well, you preachers get up there and pray with him tonight. Hallelujah. God bless you, preacher. Amen. I mean, it's up to you, brother. You can just sit around mom and let that girl die and go to hell if you please and look at that altar. Or you can get around this old altar and talk to God tonight. And boy, wherever she's at tonight, conviction will fall on her. And she'll get right with God. Amen. I don't know. You may be here tonight lost and undone without God. Woo, God bless you, honey. That's right, mine God. Amen. You sit here lost tonight and undone and look at this altar and go home and go on down the road of life and die and go to hell if you please. Or you can get around this old altar and ask Jesus into your heart and make a reservation for glory. Woo, hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, it's up to you. Thank God for an altar that ain't named Ed tonight. Ain't just here to look at, but thank God to use. Hallelujah this evening. Amen. Get up here and lead us in something, brother, tonight. You musicians, come here and help him tonight, and let's stand all over the tabernacle as these people pray. Thank God for these honest hearts. You may be from this area, some other area, or just passing through. Spirit of God speaking to your heart tonight. Here's an altar that ain't named Ed. And God's waiting with arms outstretched tonight. And if he's calling your name, he's speaking to you. Preacher Bob, I don't know about nobody else, but God in heaven speaking to my soul tonight. Come on to Jesus, would you? Come on to Jesus.
Page 354.
Hey, you want a blessing? You're going to have to come clean with God. God, I ain't going to let you go till you bless me.
Jesus,
all right, big boy, you want to get blessed. What's your name?
All to him.
Light his earthly father 20 years earlier and said, my name's Esau. God ain't letting you play. You have come clean, boy, if you get blessed. Now, what's your name? My name's Jacob. Boy, he's getting on blessing ground now, ain't he? Amen. When he's willing to admit what he is, low down, rotten, sorry, good for nothing. Boy, God blessed him with a new name. Hallelujah. And he left an isle as Israel. Thank God. Hallelujah. God
bless you, honey.
God bless you. Preacher Bob, don't know about another. God's speaking to my heart. Come on right now. They'll let you out. You're right in the middle. It's, you move. They'll let you out and come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. God help you to do it. Never take for granted everybody's a Christian. You hear lost, none done without God. I beg you, I plead with you. Don't go to hell. God loves you. Hey, God ain't mad at you tonight. God wants to bless you if you'll let him. Come on to Jesus. You get down around this old altar, God ain't going to fuss at you. He's going to wrap loving arms around you. Bring comfort as only he's able to do. Bring it to Jesus. Somebody else, it's not a personal need with you. Somebody else. You say, preacher, I'm glad for an altar that ain't called Ed. I'm going to call that name tonight. I'm going to lift him up to the Lord.
To Jesus,
maybe somebody down in the hospital room tonight. Going to need the touch out of heaven. Believe I'll just call her name tonight. Thank God for an altar that ain't named dead. Woo, hallelujah.
Holy Spirit.
Don't know about another preacher. God speaking to my heart. Come on to Jesus while these people pray tonight. Come on to Jesus. God bless you, honey. God bless you. That's right. My God, you'll never regret it in this life or the life to come. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. Boy, I hear old Jacob say, God, I surrender. I can't out-wrestle you. But I'll tell you what, God, I ain't going to let you go. I'm going to hold on. You bless me. I went back and spoke to Mama one night. I can tell she's really wrestling with God. And I said, what is it, ma'am? She said, it's my boy. I said, what about you, boy? I said, he's lost. He's going to wind up in hell if he don't get saved, preacher. Well, I said, get in that altar and talk to God about him. She said, you don't understand, Brother Bob. She said, I've been to that altar 40 times for my boy. I said, ma'am, how many trips to the altar is that boy worth? How many trips to the altar is that girl worth to you tonight, Daddy? Huh? Well, there've been some times we turned loose too quick. We ought to held on. Huh? Yes, sir. I don't know about you. I want everything God's got for me. You can call that selfish or anything you want to call it. I don't want to get to heaven and find out a lot of stuff I could have had, Ken. I let lay. I want everything God's got for me. Hallelujah. Well, I feel God in this place. Thank God for these many honest hearts. Hallelujah. Thank God for camp meeting, Scott. There's something about camp meeting and revival. You can just announce you're going to have one, and it changes the atmosphere of things. I didn't get in this thing yesterday. I said, I was born in the morning, but I wasn't born this morning. And I have picked up a few things along the way. And there's something about revival and camp meeting. You can announce it, and buddy, things take on a different environment, a different atmosphere. And ain't you glad, thank God, we still have it for the glory of God. I don't care how some of that crowd feels about it. I'll take it any day of the week. Glory to God. Thank you, preacher.